With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's John Gibbons here for a special Anfield Wrap, and I'm joined by Lizzie Doyle, but also Chris Kirkland, who former Liverpool goalkeeper and now has launched an app called Yapper, which is focused on mental health. And so, Chris, first of all, welcome back to the Anfield Wrap, I must say.
Great to be here, yeah.
Yeah, we were just laughing about you on a few years ago when the studio was slightly different to it is now.
It was, yeah. So I had to bend down getting up the stairs. it was a bit cramped in that place. But this is brilliant, this. This is a great setup.
Yeah, well, it's good to see you again. And it's nice of you to come in and talk about Yapper, but also a little bit about sort of your journey and your journey with your own mental health that's led you to wanting to do the app. But we'll start with the app itself, and we want to talk about that. It's called Yapper, and it's focused on engaging better online, would you say, and engaging better with each other in a kind of a social media style, but instead of chasing likes and focusing on things we haven't got, looking at supporting each other.
Yeah, well, listen, first of all, when my story came out, I think it was 2017, Jack Knowles, who is the founder, he's his brainchild, you know, he's the brains behind it all. He contacted me and said, look, I've read your story. I'd love to come up and meet you. I've got a great idea for an app. Would you be interested in doing it? So we met at a hotel near Manchester, got on great, you know, straight away clicked, told me his ideas, says, yeah, listen, you know, how do you want me to help with it? He says, well, I just want you to, you know, give us your ideas, what we can do to make things better, you know, obviously publicise it as well, and be on board with us all the way. And, you know, love what he said, and it took off from there. So it's his, as I said, it's his idea. I've just been lucky enough to help him with certain stuff and to get it out there to the public as well. But it's not about likes or photos. You can't do any of that on it. There's zero tolerance on trolls. You know, anyone puts anything negative or nasty on there, they're straight away, they're banned from it. So it is about communication, which, you know, social media these days it can be, for things like this, it can be brilliant because you can get this publicise things that help people, but the other side of it, we know it's nasty and it can be cruel. So Jack wanted to go down somewhere different where there was no likes or photos, and he's come up with a great idea, and there's an update due soon with a lot more features, and then there's one due in the new year as well. So, and then it should be just about done then.
So, I mean, you mentioned there that the reason that Jack reached out to you in the first place. If you don't mind, can we talk a little bit about your mental health journey, and Was it something you've kind of struggled with for a long time, or was it something that came sort of later in your career?
Yeah, late 2012. So when I left Wigan, I moved up here in 2001 to the northwest with Leona, my wife now, who's my girlfriend back then. You know, we've been together 20 odd years, and moved up, and everything was fine. I was at Liverpool for 5 years, so we lived in a house 15 minutes to Liverpool, and then I moved to Wigan, which was the same. We were in the same house. So everything was great. You know, I knew my routine, knew everything like that, knew where I'd be, knew I'd be home every night, more or less, apart from when we were playing games. And then I moved to Sheffield Wednesday from Wigan. Didn't want to leave Wigan. Felt great there. I was captain. But, you know, we know football, sometimes the manager goes different routes, which is fine. And I ended up going to Sheffield Wednesday. And I signed for them in the May, before the end of the season, whilst at Wigan. And I was excited, brilliant, everything like that. And then, so I had about 10 weeks before the start of pre-season. So I was, you know, buzzing. Sheffield Wednesday, massive club, huge club, brilliant club. But then as the weeks started creeping closer to pre-season, I started getting a bit anxious, thinking, you know, about the travelling and being away. And, you know, most people know from here to Sheffield's a nightmare to get there. Yeah. You know, it's not far at all, but over Woodhead, over Snakes Pass, it's a nightmare. So I started thinking about that. And then near the time, it just, you know, I was panicking big time and I didn't want to go in for the first day of pre-season. Went there. Struggled, you know, getting home. I was thinking I wasn't getting home till like 6-7 at night, which I know people do, you know, and they work and stuff like that. But I'd just always been a home bird, and I started to really struggle, traveling and getting stuck in traffic and worrying about getting home, missing Lucy. She was growing up, she was six, and you know, where she wanted a dad and stuff like that. So it started getting on top of me, and then, you know, straight away I said, look, I can't do this. And we were advised at the time to say it was Leona that had a problem and I needed to be at home. So I was going to walk away from the contract after 3 or 4 weeks, less than that, when I first started. And then there was all sorts of rumours going around that Leona had an illness and stuff like that, which made things worse. I was thinking, wow, why don't I just come out and say it's me? But back then, you just didn't do that because there was no talk of it at all. Wish I'd have done it now 100%, because I'm not ashamed or embarrassed or anything. But back then, it was a bit of, I weren't too sure how it was going to be taken by the club, who were brilliant, by the way. So I stuck at it, went back, got into it a bit more, but it was always an issue through my 3 years there. Even though Sheffield Wednesday were brilliant and Andy Rhodes, the goalie coach, he knew there was an issue, didn't delve too much into it, but he gave me extra days at home and stuff like that and cool downs. I didn't have to travel all the way over to do a half hour cool down. So they managed it brilliantly, but it started to really drag me down. Being away from home. And then 2015, they offered me another deal. I wasn't going to sign it, but I went in to sign it. I knew I wasn't going to sign a deal. I was in my training kit, done all the fat tests, all the testing and all that, and going upstairs to sign the contract. And I just said, look, I can't sign this. I need to get home. I need to be nearer to home. And left, which was hard because it was a brilliant club. And it really, apart from everything else, the people there was fantastic. But I knew I needed to get closer to home. And thought that would solve things. I was going to walk away from football. I was only going to sign for someone local. Preston come up. So I thought, great, this will solve everything. And it didn't, because I was, I suppose, that far gone with my mental health. And I didn't know how to reverse it. I thought that would reverse it, but it didn't. And I just kept slipping further and further away until I reached to the PFA. And I think it was 2016, reached to the PFA and got help. But didn't get the proper help I needed. So I got help, thought I was better, finished football, and then obviously adapting to life after football is tough. Doing stuff, you're used to that routine for 20 odd years, and then all of a sudden that stopped. So I found that difficult, found myself slipping back again. And then 3-4 months ago, knew I had to do something. I was in Portugal on a golfing holiday, didn't want to go. Knew I'd end up coming home. Flew home, and got out there, and literally flew home the next day, and said to Leona, "Look, I need to go away." And she knew as well. She knew that things were slipping backwards, and she didn't want to go back to what it was. So I went. I rang the PFA up, and obviously the sporting chance is a big thing with the PFA, but it's miles away. It's down. I don't even know where it's down south somewhere. So the thought of me going there and being that far away from home again started to make me panic, and I thought, I can't do that. You go there and I believe they take the phones off you for a few days. So there's no contact with the outside. And I didn't want that. I didn't want to not speak to Lucy, because I don't think you don't go home and not speak to, your wife or your daughter. Yeah. So we Googled places and found a place in North Wales, Colwyn Bay, Parkland Place, and went there, went to have a look at it and went straight in. This was like the day after. Wow. And another thing with Sporting Chance was it was going to be like a 3-month wait to get in there, and I thought, I can't wait that long. No. So I went in this place the day after, and it was the best thing I ever done. And sitting here now as I am, I feel fantastic. I wish I'd have done it 3 or 4 years ago. All the staff at Parkland Place, and I believe now the PFA are going to start using that place as well, which is great.
So what kind of things did they help you with? I know there's only so much you can talk about.
Listen, there's people in there for all sorts. I was in there for my mental health. There's people in there for, obviously, addictions to cocaine. But it all leads back to depression, to mental health. Because, nobody wakes up one day and thinks, well, I'm going to take cocaine. You do it for a reason. Some of the stories in there there was one person in there that, he got told his daughter wouldn't live past 10 years old, and he started obviously doing stuff, and so when you listen to people's stories, it really hits home. So they just they try and just rationalise things. They strip you back to where it all began. So obviously the Wigan thing come up for me, never really dealt with that, so they help you to deal with that. And then if I've got to be away from home or whatever, they try and rationalise things and try and strip you down and build you back up. I mean, what they do is just incredible.
And I just want to pick up on something you said there, Chris, about when you were, did you say you were like advised to say that there was something with Leona? That, do you think that would happen now?
No.
Obviously there's been such a shift, hasn't there? There's been, people are more open to talking about mental health. And how did you feel when that was the advice you were given, rather than someone, patting you on the back and saying, come on, it's okay to open up and say I'm struggling with
mental health? Well, I didn't tell anyone it was me. So the only one that knew was Leona. So I didn't tell anyone. So if I'd have told other people then, but then we sort of, you know, we were advised, there was only one person that knew, and they sort of advised us to say, well, I'll go down this route, but I wish now I wouldn't have done. And I don't think it would it happen? Probably it might do. It all depends on the person or player it happens to now. If they wanted it out there, they might not. But I think now you've got a much better chance of clubs realising that it is the players that have got. And by the way, also, you know, because Leona was affected as well. So you've got a duty of care now. The PFA don't just look after, and this place I went to, don't just look after me. Leona went down, Lucy went down. You know, it's a whole family thing as well. But yeah, I wish I'd have come out from the start and looking back now. But again, it just wasn't talked of back then. You know, it was seen as a weakness.
And when you went to Parkland Police this year, when you started to feel yourself maybe, I don't know, struggling with your mental health again, did you feel from, obviously, the help that you got last time at the PFA helped you to recognise, I don't know, triggers to go, something needs to be done and I'm going to stop it before it gets any worse?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I felt myself withdrawing again, not wanting to go out, you know, not putting the phone on silent, not picking it up all day, or, you know, not wanting to call people back. So I felt myself slipping back, yeah. So I knew I had to. And then not wanting to go away on a golfing holiday and stuff like that, just wanting to be at home, shut the door, shut the curtains. Yeah, I knew that I had to go and get help and did. And thankfully, this place was a godsend for us and for my family as well.
You mentioned, obviously, your family a lot and how close you are. And even at Sheffield Wednesday, you've said what a great club it was and things like that. Does that almost kind of make it harder in a way to kind of figure out in your mind? Because, you know, people say it about footballers all the time. Oh, what have you got to be the best about? But it sounds like a lot in your life was really, really good. Obviously, you had a football club that you said it was a brilliant place to work. You know, when you got there, your family, you loved, you were so close. Did that sort of, in a way, make it more difficult to think?
You feel more guilty, yeah? Yeah, it did. I mean, and then I lost a good friend. You know, I was driving up to see him. Leona's best friend, who they grew up with years ago, it was her husband, Callum, and we went on holiday in 2012 to America, and when we come back from there, he started having problems, and he ended up dying in 2016. I was driving up to see him, say goodbye, didn't get there in time, and then my dog of 14 years, I'm a big dog, crazy dog lover, my dog of 14 years died the same week, so all of a sudden they would add things to add to it as well, and it just sent me nearly over the edge. But everyone's got their own issue. Like, you know, people say, oh, you shouldn't be struggling, they're nonsense. You know, I don't listen to any of that sort of stuff, because people have got money, they should be fine. That's rubbish. You know, sometimes it brings more problems. Since I've spoke about it, I've not had one negative thing. The only thing I was worried about was Lucy at school, because, you know, kids can be cruel and stuff like that. But we sat her down and explained it to her, and she said, listen, I'm fine at school, you know, get all your help you need and I'll be fine. So she was, as soon as she said that was it. I mean, my mind was made up.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear you talk about things that trigger you and stuff, and coming a little bit later, because I think I remember being sort of young, sort of late teens, early 20s, and just not really understanding depression and being a little bit almost kind of flippant about it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Or if you're sad, you know, do this kind of thing. And it was only later when things happened in my life or things happened to people close to me, I sort of was able to kind of try and then understand it, because for a while, if things are good or you haven't suffered from it, it is a difficult thing to kind of to get your head around, isn't it?
It is, unless you, as I say, unless you go through it. I mean, you know, I was always one where, if I remember going back a few years before I went to Sheffield, so when I was at Wigan, when things were great, and, you know, I always used to say, like, if somebody said, well, you've got to stop doing this or this will happen, you know, if you've got to stop smoking or somebody says you're gonna die, you do it. You know, it's easy to do, but now looking back, it's not. You know, it's not easy to do something like that, and it's not easy to get out of a cycle of when you're going through mental health at all. So, I mean, I was very naive to that until I went through it, and then I thought, Jesus, I used to say that sort of stuff.
And
you think, wow, it's so easy. You know, people get into difficult situations and can't get out of it sometimes, and that's the sad thing. But that's why I'm trying to do what we do, and with this app as well, hopefully it can help a lot of people.
So the app, in terms of the functionality, there's a local help call button on there that people can get in touch. But also, it's clever in that it spots your cycles as well. So if there's, I think, is it 3 negative messages, then
somebody will make contact. You can set your screen tone. And then obviously the update's coming out where there's going to be a meditation thing on there as well. And then there's going to be one where you can find out your local to go to mental health wellbeing sessions in different places. So that's going to be on there in the next update. And then there's another update coming in the new year But yeah, I mean, as I said, it's not, you know, it's no photos or anything like that, which I think is brilliant, and no likes. So the more people that start using it, and some people might think, oh, it's basically, it's just text, and it's not that at all. There's so much going to be on there to help people.
And it's growing already. It's been downloaded, I believe, in over 60 countries, which it is. Must make you proud.
It's going great. I mean, you know, again, Jack's the one pushing all that. I'm trying to help as much as I can, but it's the first birthday on December, so we had the launch last year, so it's coming up to the first. But yeah, I mean, it's going great guns, and there's a lot of people interested in it, and hopefully it'll only get bigger.
I think that shows the fact that it's grown so much. I didn't realise it was so young. That's incredible. Yeah. Just shows that there is an appetite out there for us, because, look, we like communicating on our phones. Mm. We like, you know, keeping in touch with people who maybe you can't see every day. But, you know, there is obviously something negative around, you know, the way we currently do it, that is enough of a demand for
it. It's about, as you say, you can set your tone. So I don't know if, you know, say Lizzie sets a tone as a bit depressed today, or, you know, anxious, and you'll be able to see that. So then you can send them a text saying, are you okay? You know, because normally you wouldn't know, would you?
No.
You wouldn't know at all. So I think that idea is brilliant. And a lot of people are using that to set the tone. I do it a lot. Jack does it a lot. And people using it are doing it now to see how they're feeling. And then being able to see that. And obviously if they post three negative ones, then they get, you know, somebody ring them and get help and stuff like that. So I think it's genius what it's done.
It's a non-judgmental space as well. That's what I quite like about it. It must be quite scary maybe for someone for the first time doing it to go on and say to the friends, this is how I'm feeling, in a way, even if it's not with so many words. But, you know, yourself and Jack created it, both male. The majority of our listeners and subscribers are male. And this is the biggest killer in males of a certain age group, suicide. And it's not talked about enough. And Yapa can create a space for men and anyone and women, anyone of any age, to go on and talk about how they feel and not be judged for it.
Yeah, you're spot on. And that's why, as I said, when Jack rang us and come up with the idea, it needed something like that, because the way social media is and still is going, let's face it, it can be so cruel at times and bad. So whether we can transfer people to delete them accounts, I doubt it. But if they can add this one to it and start using it and get more and more and think, actually, I feel better when I'm using this and not getting judged, then that's what we're doing it for.
And, you know, when you said before you reached out to the PFA and you had a lot of help from the PFA, just on, say, I don't know, nowadays with the PFA, do you think there's enough in place for footballers now to be able to be comfortable to go to an organisation or to go to their club? Is there enough in place for these quite young lads to go and say, I'm struggling and I need some help? Or is the more that should be done to help them?
There's always more that can be done, but it is getting there. I was down at the PFA conference last week, down at St George's, for the mental well-being. They have one every year. And when it, for 4 years ago, there was 140 players reached out. So either former or current players. And now it's up to like 680 players that are asking for help. So the PFA are doing a lot more, but they know they've got a lot more to do as well. But I keep saying, when I first come out and spoke, it wasn't for other footballers. Yeah. You know, it wasn't for the football world. Yes, it was, but it was for general public, general society. It wasn't for that. It was just so, because I was involved in football, it allowed me to get it out there on a platform. Because obviously, you know, football's one of the most world-watched sports in the world, but it wasn't for football reasons at all.
Okay, so people can download it now. Obviously, there's the updates coming up as well. So you've got big plans for it. I know there's not everything that you want necessarily reveal today, but big plans for it about kind of added functionality and just kind of people getting, you know, more, even more from the app than you can now.
And we're getting a lot of interest. I mean, I'm meant to be going out to Trinidad in December and doing a coaching course out there. Coaching. I've been asked to do coaching out there and the mental well-being centre as well after. Wow. And they emailed the other day saying they want to launch Yapa out there in Trinidad and Tobago and the Caribbean and stuff like that. So, you know, Australia, America and all them countries, So they've all seen the plans, what Jack's got, and they're all very impressed with it.
And, you know, when you look back at your time now, so those couple of years that you spoke about between about 2015?
So it started in 2012, but it got bad around 2014 to 16,
So those few years, which, you know, you probably felt like you couldn't see a way out, it was really dark, even again this year when you felt it. Do you look at Yapa and just feel so proud that actually something so amazing has come out of your experience that can just go on to help so many other people as well?
Yeah, I do. And like I said, I don't do it for that gratitude or anything like that. I do it because I was in a bad place, got help, somebody helped me, and that's what I want to give now. And I'm lucky enough, fortunate enough to be in a position where if we speak, people will listen because of the platform we have got through football, which is great. That's why I said sometimes social media can be used for the good, and that's why we're doing that with this.
Great. I think it's brilliant. And it's available on all app stores?
All app stores. It's free to download. Yeah, it's on Android, iOS. I'm useless with technology. But it's on everything, yeah. Free to download, and the next couple of updates are going to be great.
Brilliant.
We could get you down here without asking you a little bit about football as well. Obviously, first of all, we'll ask you about the goalkeepers because I'm interested to ask you about both of them at the moment. But first of all, just the Reds at the moment. 8 from 8, absolutely ticking in the league. Looking good.
Looking great. Yeah, looking great. People are saying, is this I think we'll win it this year. I do. It's going to be tough, obviously, and you've got to get luck with injuries and stuff like that, but we look so strong defensively more than anything as well, and then we know what the attackers can do. You know, we know we've got goals all over the team, but defensively we've probably got the best unit in the league.
Yeah,
and I to find it very difficult to think that we're going to lose a few games this season the way we're playing. But it can happen. But Jürgen, one thing with Jürgen, I mean, I've been lucky enough to go down to the training ground, seeing the training. He's so focused on the next game. He won't let them think about 3 games down the line or 4 games down the line. He's so focused on the next game, whether that's a cup game or a league game or whatever, Champions League. So we've got a brilliant manager that knows his stuff, and if anyone can guide us there, he can.
On the goalkeepers then, and Adrian, first of all, because you've been a substitute goalkeeper, obviously you've been the first choice as well. So how sort of full of admiration are you for him? The fact that he came into a club thinking he'd be back up, suddenly he's thrown in there. It's a Super Cup. It's with a team he doesn't really know, a defence he doesn't really know. He's done brilliantly, hasn't he?
No pre-season.
Yeah.
Weren't with a club. You know, not been training. I think he's only training a couple of weeks. So he's done unbelievable. You know, and yes, he's been at West Ham, so he knows the league and stuff, but still coming to a club like Liverpool.
Yeah.
He's tenfold compared to, you know, no disrespect to West Ham. So he's come with big pressure. Didn't expect to play, obviously, as soon as he did. But he's come and he's done incredibly well. You know, he's done brilliant. He's done everything that he's asked. He's had big contributions in games that have helped us to win games as well. It's not as though he's gone in and it's been really quiet and he's not had a lot to do. He's had stuff to do. John Achterberg and Jack Robinson deserve a lot of credit for getting him up to speed as well. The other guy, I went down there a couple of weeks ago and watched training, and it's so intense. You know, they work their socks off. Andy Lonergan's there as well. So yeah. I know Lonner's. He's fitted in well, and you've got Kravine, the young lad, and Grabar. So the goalkeeping setup is as strong as it's been in a long, long time. And it's all credit to, as I said, to John Achterberg for identifying them, and then obviously for the club for going out and paying quite a bit of money for Alisson. But Adrian deserves a lot of credit. And if Alisson does come back in this week, I don't think he'd have been on any illusions when he did sign. I'm sure I got told when I signed that I'd be number two to Jersey, to learn off him, to watch the way he works, and when your chance is there, try and take it. So I think he'd have been under no illusions that both fit, and Alisson's, you know, the number one because of what he did last year and, you know, what he can hopefully do for the next 10 years. But it's great knowing that Adrian's there as a backup now.
But hopefully it is the main fella back this weekend against Man United. And, you know, if Liverpool wasn't a formidable task enough, then suddenly you've got the, you know, one of the world's best keepers coming back in as well. He's been incredible for Liverpool.
And he has, yeah. And again, I keep going back to John. I seen something the other day that John Achterberg's finally getting the recognition he deserves. And I think that's brilliant because he is literally the first in and the last out of the building. He works his socks off. He never stops. And he's improved Alisson since when Alisson first came. He was good, very good. But I think he's improved a lot since he's been doing the training with John Achterberg and obviously training with the Liverpool players as well. So John Achterberg deserves a lot of credit. But yeah, Alisson's, I mean, I went down and watched a few sessions, and one session he did was, I just come away purring. I went home and said to Leon, I've just seen the best goalkeeping display I've ever seen in training. I know it's people say, well, it's just training, but he was incredible. And I went away thinking, wow, we've got a hell of a keeper. And that was about... That was last season, so that was about 3 or 4 months into last season, so I knew he was going to get better just by that session. So we're lucky, but say the goalkeeping department's very strong.
Yeah, a little shout out for the third goal he's played this weekend, this season so far, Kelleher. He did great, didn't he?
He did great. I've seen a lot of him over the last couple of years for the 18s and the 23s. Young lad, very confident. They got high hopes for him. I think you've seen that because he's been on the bench when Alisson has been injured. So they have got high hopes for him. Obviously, Grabar was out on loan at Huddersfield as well. So, yeah, I keep saying we're very strong in that area.
So, I mean, you say we a lot, which is great for me to for you to hear as a sort of a Liverpool fan. I mean, it's been a while since you played for Liverpool now. I mean, those years are kind of, you know, ticking along. But it's obviously, I know you've been involved more recently, especially with the women's team and things like that. But you obviously still feel a huge connection with the club and still feel part of the family, I guess.
I do. I mean, my first game was when I was 8 at Anfield. So standing then days in the cop. We used to come up on the bus from Hinckley. It used to take about 6 hours. But when my mum and dad could afford it, so my first game was in the 80s. And look, you know, my daughter's in the academy under 14. She's a goalkeeper. She's obsessed with it. So we're down, you know, at the academy most nights of the week watching them train. And I just love doing a lot of stuff for the club, you know, watching the 18s, the 23s, doing the TV. I'm doing the TV on Saturday for their game. So I just think it's a brilliant club to be involved in. You know, it's so passionate and it's gave me a lot and I want to give a lot back now as well.
So it's amazing to think there might be another Kirkland in goal in a few years.
I hope so. She's doing well. She's, you know, I sort of leave her to it. She, if she comes and asks us for advice or extra sessions, I'll do it, obviously. But I just like to let her get on with it, and she enjoys it. She's just been picked for Lancashire as well.
Great.
So she's doing really well. But as long, I just say to listen, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it as much as you can. You do that, and you'll play better. So she's doing fine.
Just on Lucy playing for did you say the under-14s?
Under-14s, yeah.
What did she think when she watched the Women's World Cup this year? When I grew up, when I was Lucy's age, I didn't have women to necessarily not look up to. They weren't there. They weren't on the telly. They weren't there for me to watch. I was always watch Liverpool, the men, the 11 men on the pitch, and that's who I've grown up to love. And it's only recently that I've started, you know, being a bit more interested in the women's game, but the Women's World Cup completely opened my eyes. But I can't imagine what it's like for a young girl who plays in goal for Liverpool as an under-14s keeper to watch those women on the biggest stage. It must have been amazing.
She
for
watched
her.
Every game. She was obsessed. She's obsessed with football. Like, you'll come down in the mornings and she'll be watching saves from different keepers and different games. And she's so dedicated with her training. But I mean, we go to watch the women's because they get invited down there. Obviously, all the academy age groups do. So any game she can watch, she watches it. And she studies both women's and men's football. And I just think it's brilliant. Like you said, the World Cup was 11.5 million watch the England games. Yeah. You know, the highest.
Huge.
It's brilliant. And hopefully it'll carry on. She keeps asking that, saying, do you think it'll keep getting bigger and bigger? Like, because they're excited.
Good.
You know, because they're 13, 14. They're thinking, well, it could be even bigger when we, you know, hopefully get to the first team, which will be tough, obviously. But the more it can grow, the better. And Barclays are on board with it now. They're sponsoring it as well. So that's a great sponsor. But it's just getting the crowds down there. That's the thing. Trying to get the crowds down there. And, you know, what was it? I think, is there a sellout at Wembley now? I've just read for the Lionesses.
Yeah, there is for the Lionesses, which is amazing. Sold Wembley,
it's the highest attendance ever in a game of football, isn't it? And is it a friendly as well?
I'm not too sure, but considering the men's teams don't even sell it out sometimes, I think when I saw that, it was amazing.
Is it brilliant? I mean, imagine that, with the women going down to Wembley. And because that would have never been thought of, you know, even 3 years ago, would it? Yeah. Never been thought of at all,
it's not a pity party either. That's what I like, because I didn't have that when I was growing up. I didn't have these women to watch. No. They weren't there for me to see. And now, like, I see these young girls. Yeah. Andy in our office takes his young daughter. She goes and gets a picture taken at the end with all the players. And Vicky Jepson, the manager, comes over. And I just love what's happening with the women's game now. And it's just so nice to hear that. Your daughter's getting, hopefully, what is the best of it, or should I say the start of it anyway?
Hopefully. But I mean, I've been, as I said, I was at Liverpool Women's, and their dedication is incredible. In some ways, better than the men. They're obsessed with it. They want to train. They're asking for information, how to make themselves better. Vicky's done a brilliant job. She's so knowledgeable in the game. Lucky enough to work with her. But the women are just so focused on getting better. It's brilliant. And for, you know, a lot of the academies go down and watch them train. Vicky gets them down. She goes down and watches them train. So it's all together. And it has to be that way. It has to be, you know, for me, it's from top to bottom. Because if the top of the pile do it, the rest will follow. And Vicky's certainly keen on that, having worked with the foundation, the younger age groups as well. So we're in good hands there.
Great stuff. Huge thanks to Chris for coming in and talking to us about Yappa and a little bit about the Reds, obviously. And obviously to Lizzie as well for joining and producing. That's been a very special Anfield. Sports Social Podcast Network.